Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go
back. Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour flight deck Foxtrot. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Phoenix to Philadelphia, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How's everyone doing this morning? Thanks so much for joining us. Boy, we are jammed. You could not stuff anything more into this burrito this morning. These 3 hours have it all. We've got NFL Insider from NFL Network, Ian Rappaport. Rap Sheet's going to join us coming up here on the show. There's already a new crop of coaching faces on hot seats after this weekend. We'll talk to Rap about that coming up in about 35 minutes from now. We've also got plenty on the ALCS. Boy, last night, what a thrilling game. If you went to bed, I don't blame you. That was deep into the night. I can't believe I'm up early and ready to roll after watching that one, but it was so worth it. Captivating. As Carlos Correa and the Astros walk it off in the 11th, to perhaps save their season, we'll discuss coming up in about 15 minutes from now. The Chiefs, are they in trouble? Why is Dan Quinn still employed? Has Kirk Cousins actually become a baller overnight? And did we watch the end of the 2015 NFL draft yesterday? All of that plus everything else around the football weekend. That includes also my trip to Clemson back from Death Valley. And let me tell you, it lived up to the hype. It was phenomenal, and I am so thankful, so appreciative of all the people that said hello, that stopped me at the tailgate or at the game or wherever we were in Clemson and had listened to the show, because we have been on 105.5 The Roar in Clemson for a long time. It was so cool, and let me tell you, 25 most exciting seconds in sports was totally legit. Touching Howard's Rock, running down that hill into the stadium, everybody exploding. The scene was awesome. And if you want to check out some of the images of my weekend, you can follow me on Instagram at Damon Amendo. You'll see plenty there. And an upcoming episode of Nomad will be released this week because I'm putting it on film. It was a tremendous weekend, and I can't thank everybody at Clemson enough for treating us so well. The only thing I would have liked to see is Florida State show up a little bit more. I mean, the game was over midway through the first. But other than the dead men walking Willie Taggarts, everything was phenomenal. We begin, though, with the Jets and Cowboys. Let me tell you, I was in the Charlotte airport yesterday watching Jets and Cowboys, had bellied up to the bar, had myself my dinner and my beers, and I was just watching with a bunch of strangers, and nothing pulls America together, especially in this time of divisiveness and polarization and controversy. Nothing pulls us as a country together more than a Cowboys loss. I'm sitting there at the bar, and there is dozens of people behind me on the other side of the bar, everybody watching the TVs. And when the Jets finally held on that two-point conversion, a huge roar comes up from everybody standing up at the airport. Think about this. These are people from all over the country. These are all types of different people, all types of different fans. Nothing brings us together like watching a Cowboys loss. How about them Cowboys? Great win by the Jets. Great win. And we had buried them at 0-4 and clowned Adam Gase. And some of us had even clowned Sam Darnold for some reason, suggesting he should have played when clearly the doctors had told him not to. I mean, but to watch the Jets come out there and play like that, total juice, total energy, and figuring out a way to win. That's a tremendous win for the Jets organization and much needed. But for the Cowboys. For the Cowboys. Jason Garrett. I did not think Jason Garrett could ever actually be on the hot seat, because Jason Garrett is the best dinner guest that Jerry Jones has ever had. I mean, could you find a better coach than Jason Garrett? Well, yeah, tactically, motivationally, organizationally, sure. But can you find a guy that'll make excuses for the organization, take bullets for you, never question ownership, and tell the owner how smart and handsome he is all the time, and is a great dinner guest? I mean, try to find that and be a good tactician. And Belichick ain't doing that. Belichick isn't going to tell you that your haircut makes you look 10 years younger. Jason Garrett will. So careful what you wish for. So that's why I never thought that Jason Garrett would be on the hot seat. But from a football standpoint, these last 3 weeks, Jason Garrett should be on that hot seat. He should, because there's no way you can say that the Cowboys have lived up to their potential this season. It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Okay, here's your ball game. 2-point conversion for the tie. With 43 seconds left. Prescott back in the gun, throws it in the end zone, incomplete, and there are no flags anywhere. And he was bowled over. They knocked Prescott on his backside before literally he had a chance to throw.
I was a lot happier with what he had done the first 3 games than what's happened the last 3 games. But the big thing I want to say, it's not just him.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Brad Sham, Cowboys Radio, Jerry Jones after the loss. Quote, I was a lot happier with him through the first 3 games, but it's not just him. Okay, well, let's parse that a little bit. Number one, Jones is at least admitting that some of the blame falls on Jerry, on Jason Garrett. That's a start. That's a start. But is also saying it's not just on the coach. Guys, here's the problem. In a big game, who would you rather have, Jason Garrett or almost anybody else? Let's say almost anyone else. This team lived up to its potential when it could be bullies, when it could take out its advantage and talent disparity against the Giants, against Washington, against the Dolphins. This is an opportunity for the Dallas Cowboys to exert their will, because they're a really strong roster and they're a really talented team. But once you start getting into a fight with a team that's got a little bit of juice, a little bit of confidence, well, now suddenly Jason Garrett doesn't look so smart anymore. And I have to say, If it's true, the rumors in Dallas, that he has taken back over this offense from Kellen Moore, that maybe Jason Garrett realizes he could be coaching for his job, and so he's kind of frantically trying to have more control over the offense, it looks terrible. It looks terrible. I think for Garrett right now, he might be on that hot seat because Jerry Jones knows this is the best roster that he has had in Dallas in maybe 20 years. And this is a franchise that spent a lot of money in the offseason. And if they spent all that money to be 500, well, you can get a lot of monkeys to do that. There's a lot of chimpanzees just punching a calculator that you could have that could coach this team to 500. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that the Cowboys don't know how to stop the bleeding. And thank goodness for them that Sam Darnold had the ill-advised pass in the fourth quarter down in the red zone that got intercepted. Because if they would have just gotten 3 points out of that, basically the game is over. The Cowboys trying to go for it late in the second quarter, not getting it on fourth down, allowing the Jets to get it back, which led to the 90-plus yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson. The way that they were seemingly just impotent and disorganized at critical times in the second half offensively, falling behind as badly as they did on the road against a winless team, these are all indicators the head coach isn't very good. But we knew that. That doesn't change. What changes is maybe finally, because expectations are so high and because Jerry has spent so much money, maybe finally, yes, Jason Garrett is on the hot seat. He should be. And maybe Jerry's also a little scared about losing Kellen Moore. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, one thing I think we saw, when the Cowboys don't have all five pieces of their offensive line, that is not the same Cowboys offense.
Yeah, Dak Prescott was all Dixieland and what do we call them, pixie sticks and all of that stuff?
Dixieland and pixie dust.
Right, Dixieland and pixie dust. He was all of that when the offensive line had all five of the monster starters in there and they were all Pro Bowlers. But the moment you take out Lyle Collins and Tyron Smith, he had pressure in his face and completely wilted at points in that game. Dak Prescott does not do well versus pressure, but then again, most quarterbacks don't. That Cowboy offensive line for the last couple of years has hidden so many problems with this team.
And you got to give Prescott credit. I mean, he got walloped yesterday.
Oh, yeah. He kept getting up.
He kept getting up. He got crushed a number of times.
Gallup did him no favor, dropping a million passes.
But this team now has lost all of its confidence. You know, when they know they're the better team and they can kind of pound you and they can run over you and Zeke's going to run over you, everything is great, but boy, you find them in a dogfight, and forget it, they totally wilt.
Cowboys-Eagles Sunday night, loser finds themselves under 500 after seven games.
Absolutely brutal. And let me ask this. Is Zeke the same Zeke as he was before the holdout?
You think my show should be called The Pork Store? That's where Zeke is living right now because, I'm sorry, maybe it's his beard. He looks chunkier. He runs hard and he runs physical. He does not look like the same fast Zeke we saw the last couple of years. I think he was eating too much in training camp. I know it's a joke when we talk about it, but he looks slower. He might be still making plays, but he looks slower.
He's still making plays.
Itchy nipple chub, bro.
And he still throws his body with reckless abandon into defenders. And he still has the ability to really be a sledgehammer. But the burst, the quick cut burst that we saw in his first couple of seasons, I would agree there's more pork store going on right now.
I feel like in the open field, I might be able to tackle Zeke right now.
Well, that might be a little bit of an exaggeration. All right, so Jets and Cowboys, hit us up on the phones, 855-212-4227. Last night, ALCS Game 2 in Houston goes deep into the night, ends in the bottom of the 11th inning. Did the Astros save their season with the win last night? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Not everything is pixie sticks and Dixieland.
A no sweat pants at work zone. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Outfield shaded the other way.
And deep, first pitch. And Correa lines it deep to right field. Judge is going back at the wall. Looking up. See you later. See you later. See you later. See you later. Astros even the series at a game apiece on the walk-off home run by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th.
You know, we just have really good players and a really good feel for the moment. It's fun when you win a game like this. We've had some really big wins in this ballpark. It's why we talk about how we love playing here.
Robert Ford on Astros Radio, A.J. Hinch after the win. A walk-off by Carlos Correa in the bottom of the 11th saves the Astros season. Welcome back, D.A., with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, there's so many different ways you can listen to the show. You know, you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all these wonderful affiliates. If, however, your local affiliate doesn't carry all 3 hours of the DA, there's other ways you can get us. Remember, you can get us on Sirius XM, channel 206. You can also get us by listening on your phone using the CBS Sports app, radio.com as an app, Apple Music, or you can watch us at watchda.com. It's also an Ask the Pros Day where you get to pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. I'll be listening later on in the show and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Had the Astros not won last night, I think the series was over. I do. I thought that was a break point for the series for the Astros. The Yankees had taken game one in Houston with relative ease. And last night, you had your big game pitcher, your ace, Justin Verlander on the hill. And Verlander, really outside of one bad pitch to Aaron Judge, which he knew as soon as Judge crushed it, as soon as he made contact, Verlander knew he made a mistake. Outside of that pitch, Verlander was nearly perfect. Nasty, filthy. So on a night where you just simply could not afford to go down 0-2 and go back to Yankee Stadium for three. Remember, this is a 2-3-2. So had the Astros lost both games one and games two, you're down 0-2, going to the Bronx for three, and you would have blown your Verlander start. It couldn't happen. It could not happen. And I have to tell you, once the Astros got into the sixth and seventh inning and it was still 2-2, I said, this is setting up so poorly for the Astros. Because bullpen-wise, you'll take the Yankees' bullpen every day of the week. Every single day. The amount of arms they have, the depth that they have, and obviously Chapman, who's right now unhittable, you take that. If you're a Yankee fan last night, you said, we got out of a Verlander start, tie ball game, and now we have multiple innings to try to get to the Astros bullpen, and we got our bullpen? Great. And we're up 1-0? Phenomenal. Best place to be. And every inning that the Astros did not score, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, felt like a step closer to stepping off the cliff. That all the Yankees needed was one. Just one. Push ahead one run, take the 3-2 lead. Good night. We're going back home to close you guys out in 4 or 5. And it would have been heavy Oinktober. You would have had so much grunting and snorting rooting around that slop from Yankee fans and Mraz. You didn't want any part of that. And I have to say, with the Yankees lineup, I did not think there was going to be that many quick innings. 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. These are all quick at-bats, quick innings, three and outs. And the Astros pen did a wonderful job. There was a couple of challenges in there, but mostly the Astros' arms were just incredible shutting down those Yankees' bats. And then the swing. Deep into the night, you're saying, how long can this go? Yankees have a runner on with two away. Gary Sanchez obviously flails to the third strike. I mean, it's so obvious. The ball is in the dirt, low and away. Sanchez swings, doesn't get any part of it. The ump is tricked into thinking it is a foul tip. He didn't get any part of it. And that's not reviewable. How can it happen? Gary Sanchez tricks the ump into thinking it's a foul tip. And had he hit the next pitch into the upper deck, it would have been one of the greatest goat horn moments for an ump ever in baseball history. Ever. You're looking at trying to get to the World Series. The ump didn't see that the bat missed the ball by a foot and a half.
How could it happen?
I'm saying this is outrageous. I said the oinkers are going to win here because the ump was blind. And you can't review it. You can review anything now. You can challenge anything in baseball. You can't review that. You can't challenge it. Hinch is like, you've got to be kidding me. That's the third out. That's the third strike. We're out of this inning. This is crazy. And then Glazer behind the plate, the ump. If there was a pitch that was within a five-mile radius of home plate, he was getting a called third strike right there. Ha! I mean, that pitch was so off the plate. That was so not a strike. And quickly framed into the strike zone, Glazer, ha! Struck him out. I mean, at that point, Gary Sanchez should have swung at anything within a six foot radius. Just jump up and try to tap it. Jump out of the batter's box and swing. Because you knew Mraz. That was a obvious makeup punch.
Oh, so ridiculous for the umps to screw the Yankees like that. That was ridiculous. You can't. You screw up, you own it. You don't then screw the next pitch up. Have some integrity for the ball game.
Some integrity. I think Glazer was PO'd that Sanchez tricked him on that one.
Well, don't get tricked. So you got to call, you know, something 10 feet outside the plate as a strike after that? How unfair.
You did not deserve that at bat at all. You did not deserve that next pitch.
But have some integrity as an umpire. You screw
integrity.
Up. You don't. There's no such thing as a makeup call.
Oh, that's
ridiculous.
Yeah. The oinking and the snorting nearly hit DEFCON 4 level last night.
And by the way, can we just put this out there as long as we're talking baseball, we get back to the football? How the heck is Giancarlo Stanton not in the lineup last night with a quad injury?
Wasn't he like your favorite player coming into this
weekend?
Yeah,
and he homers on Saturday night. It would Stan Tolbert, everything's on fire.
Oh, so now suddenly you're going to crush him.
He shows up with a quad injury, and you're talking to Big Poppy, who maybe is the last one who should be talking about injuries right now, saying you'd have to drag him out of the lineup. Stanton basically better be amputated to have to not play. But they shoot the clubhouse, and there's Stanton just laughing, having a good time in the whatever you call that thing that they sit in.
It's a dugout.
The dugout.
See me on the meat locker.
I mean, come on. Get in the lineup. I understand injuries are a thing. You don't want to kill a guy for injury, but, like, be tough. Go. I don't want to hear that you're injured. I want you to play through the injury.
Giancarlo Stanton is such a feeble, weak-minded, multimillionaire athlete. It is pathetic. It is just pathetic. Because Giancarlo Stanton doesn't want any of the pressure. He can't handle the pressure. He doesn't know what to do with the pressure. He knows how to strike out five times in a game. And the moment he has a chance to redeem his in-the-toilet reputation, he bags out. He bags out with a quad injury. ALCS game two. Look, that's a 2-2 game into the 11th. If Giancarlo Stanton, with all that power, touches one, and it goes over the fence, the Yankees have a 2-0 series lead coming back home for three. That could have been game, set, match, and he sits out with a quad. It's not an elbow. It's not a shoulder.
It's not a torn ACL.
It's a quad. So he woke up and it was a little tight.
And has the nerve to sit there and joke around. All I know is this. I look around all four of us, and not that we're the toughest guys in the world. We're playing with a quad injury last night. We are all playing with a quad injury last night because that's the mentality. That's how tough we are.
I just totally smashed my fingers. I went to get the DA sign.
This series is the World Series. This is the de facto World Series. So essentially, Giancarlo Stanton sat out a World Series game with a quad. He just hit a home run with the same quad. What did he hurt his quad rounding third base on the home run? I mean, it is so embarrassing for just Fabergé egg Giancarlo Stanton. He's always got something. Always. How many more years you got in that contract, Oinker?
18.
he's got another 18 years at $45 million per, I believe. By the way, Mariah's pointing out on Friday that the Yankees don't buy their wins. Here is a guy on the roster that's going to make $300 million to sit the bench with a quad.
Well, clearly he's not contributing to the wins much, is he?
Yeah, they tried to buy wins with him. It hasn't worked out just yet.
That was so pathetic. And good for Big Poppy. Again, Big Poppy is now safe because he's on domestic land
exactly.
Here. So he can't be hunted down by the cartel. So he's allowed to...
Allegedly.
He's allowed to opine on baseball. He's safe. Although I think that they've got like 7 bodyguards just outside of the studio to make sure the cartel doesn't get Poppy during breaks.
Burkhart knows he's got to take a bullet for Poppy.
Oh, and you know what? They're making sure that they all dress totally different from Poppy because, you know, that was a mistaken identity. That's how Poppy got shot. So they're like, Poppy, what are you wearing today? Okay, you're wearing white or we're going to wear blue? You're wearing sandals? Okay, open-toed shoes or closed-toed? We're going to go the opposite way here. Want to make sure the cartel's very clear on who Big Poppy is here. Okay, we're very clear. Pedro's like, I'm not going anywhere near that set. Okay, no. I'm out.
I need 2 Nick Swishers in between me and Poppy. Casey's turned in front. Yeah, Burkhart behind
exactly.
me.
When we come back, Ian Rappaport's going to join us. NFL Network, let's talk about Jason Garrett, Dan Quinn, and other very hot seats. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
Is it safe to eat a hot dog at a movie theater?
No, I think it's crazy. Call me old-fashioned. I'm a traditional popcorn guy.
A man of tradition and great integrity, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That's how you know you can trust his reporting. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227 and brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Full episodes of the DA Show. If you want to download and listen to again or you may have missed, available in podcast form. So listen to it on iTunes or radio.com or other places that podcasts are available. Our next guest is an NFL Network insider. You follow him every day if you're a football fan on Twitter at Rap Sheet. He's also the host of the Rap Sheet and Friends podcast, available every single week. Our friend Ian Rappaport this morning. Rap, how you doing? Good morning.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm great. It's always good to catch up with you. And in Dallas, we always know that fans and media want Jason Garrett out, but the ownership loves Jason Garrett. They like to make excuses for Jason Garrett. They're friends, family friends with Jason Garrett. Could that actually change with the way that they have swooned in the last 3 weeks?
It won't change with the way they've swooned in the last couple of weeks. Like, in other words, it's not like Garrett is going to be out tomorrow. Like, I don't foresee that situation at all where, you know, they lose a couple and then Garrett's out. Like, it's not going to be like that. But I do think there's a possibility he's not back next year. And remember, he didn't get a contract extension despite a lot of people, including me, expecting them to do it. It is a make-or-break year. It's either going to be a clean break and a new coach or it's going to be not. And so I think while it's not judged on a week-to-week basis, they're going to keep getting asked about it, but after every loss, but you know, while it's not judged on a week-to-week basis, they are going to judge it at the end of the year. And you know, at some point, I'm sure they will break from Jason Garrett. And obviously, if things keep going like this, then I think it's very possible.
Well, when you say at some point they'll break from Jason Garrett, so you just don't assume that they're going to win enough to keep his job this year?
I mean, I think they would have to win a lot. You know, it would have to be something where you say, all right, we have left no doubt that we are, you know, with this guy for the next 5 years. Like, it would have to be substantial. It would have to be convincing and substantial. And, you know, based on what we've seen, like, look, the NFC East is tough. The Eagles are in the exact same position, right? So it's not like they're alone in this. However, they have bigger aspirations, and they have a good enough team where I think they should be better than 3-3. I'll say that.
So Jason Garrett's got the benefit of the doubt from ownership for a decade without winning a Super Bowl, without getting to a Super Bowl, without getting to an NFC Championship game. What changed this year? Why the lack of patience this year for them?
See, I don't think it's lack of patience. I just think at some point you have to win. And, you know, the Cowboys went from a good high-priced team, you know, big star team with Tony Romo and DeMarco Murray and Dez Bryant, Sean Lee is the focal point on defense. You know, that was the team. And then they transitioned to Dak and Zeke and Tyron Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence. All of that has happened under Jason Garrett's watch. And, I mean, not that he runs personnel. I'm just saying he was the head coach as they transitioned from one team to a completely different team. They are at a point now under Will McClay and Stephen Jones, who've done a great job with personnel, they're at a point now where they should be good and they should be winning. I think that is what changed, where you can't look at anything with this team and say they are not ready to win. That is why results have to come this year.
Is any part of this tied to Kellen Moore and them not wanting to lose Kellen Moore as a head coach somewhere else?
I have not heard that. And I know they like Kellen Moore a lot. They talk about him in great terms. I would be curious to see if they bring it, you know, let's say they don't make the playoffs and they're not going to fire Jason Garrett. They're just not going to bring him back because he's out of contract. You know, I have not heard whether or not he's tied to Kellen Moore. I know they like him, but I haven't heard him as a, you know, Dirk Cutter situation in Tampa, for instance, where, you know, you fire Lovie because you don't want to lose Dirk. I have not heard that situation yet.
Ian Rappaport joins us from the NFL Network. What is the argument in Atlanta for not firing Dan Quinn?
You mean ever or like right now?
No, right now.
I just think they're not there yet. You know, they're definitely considering. It was not a good loss. It was one I would say that would probably be on personnel as much as coaching, because, you know, the kicker you brought in, who's supposed to be reliable, misses a PAT that would have sent you to overtime. And, I mean, that's, you know, say whatever you want about Dan Quinn, but, you know, what in the world is he supposed to do, right? You send a kicker up there to kick a PAT, he's supposed to kick a PAT. But I would say they're just not there yet. Now they have two more games until the bye, two more home games. You know, I would say that is probably the, not target date, but that's probably the most likely situation where you say we're going to evaluate after the bye. And, you know, if things have not improved, then I would say it will be a difficult situation for Dan Quinn. And I would wonder about Thomas Dimitroff as well. I mean, they lost Scott Pioli by his own decision, but they lost Scott Pioli earlier in the year. Those two are tied to the hip. I'd be very curious to see what situation or what decision they make with Thomas Dimitroff as well.
Well, it feels like Arthur Blank has a lot of respect for Dan Quinn and kind of doesn't want to embarrass him. But, I mean, the last couple of weeks, Dan Quinn's supposed to be the defensive guy, and this defense has been shredded. I mean, absolutely killed. And I would just think that right now firing Quinn, it's almost like they know the season's over anyway. What's a coaching change going to do, you know, by October 15th or whatever? Could this just be that Arthur Blank has enough respect for Quinn to not want to kind of humiliate him?
Well, I think it's more that the season isn't quite over yet. You know, like, I mean, I know they're not good, but you still could turn it around. And then, you know, just think about it logistically. He's also the defensive coordinator. So you fire him, you're going to need a new defensive coordinator as well, and you're going to find a guy, like, where? You know, I'm actually not even sure what they would do. You know, the interim, they would have some options. You know, Raheem Morris has been a head coach, actually won 10 games with a crazy buck situation. So he potentially would be in line to be the interim. But defensive coordinator would be a legitimate question, and I don't know what they would do. So, you know, logistically, there's some things they'd have to figure out. I just think they haven't gotten to that place yet. But, you know, you mentioned the, you know, where they are in the season. I mean, I think part of the deal is, they fired all their coordinators before this season. When you do that, there's no one else to fire. Mm. So that, I think, is why we're talking about Dan Quinn and not some other coaches right now.
Mm-hmm. Ian Rappaport joins us from NFL Network. The class of 2015 quarterbacks looked like an absolute train wreck yesterday. Marcus Mariota benched in favor of Ryan Tannehill. Jameis Winston throws 5 interceptions and a fumble yesterday. So do you think that both these organizations have made up their mind at this point in time that neither Jameis nor Mariota is going to get that extension of the offseason?
I don't believe the Bucs have made up their mind, no. And, I mean, you know, you look at the numbers, it's kind of like when people break down Dak and you say, oh, he threw this many interceptions. Like, you know, you need to look at each of them. The first Jameis interception, to me, was on Mike Evans. He needs to come back to the ball. That's just run the route properly. You know, I think Jameis had zero blame for that first interception. Some of the other ones were absolutely his fault. Holding on to the ball and being sloppy with it was his fault. But, you know, one thing about Jameis is he doesn't care about his stats. So he doesn't mind, like, keep firing, and you end up with 5 picks. It's like, okay, you know, that's not – so I think – but there's also a chance for sort of being great. With Mariota, it is not that. He just doesn't – he has not moved the ball, has not given them a chance to win. I don't know what else we're supposed to do in Tennessee. I mean, I think it's clear that he's not their franchise quarterback now. That's just the reality of it. You know, it's really a question of – if he can be able to get him through the season, or is Ryan Tannehill going to do it? And, you know, I don't know what Tannehill's going to end up, like how he's going to end up playing, but they spent a lot of capital, you know, trade and a new contract for a backup quarterback. That is going to be a very savvy move when you look back at it.
The 49ers are 5-0, and they get a win over the Rams, and they dismantled the Browns last week. And so everything feels like it's really good, but there's still questions about whether Jimmy Garoppolo will ever be an elite quarterback. Is it possible that they could have a playoff team this year and actually move on from Garoppolo after the season?
Is it possible? I think it's possible. You know, it's hard, though, because you're winning, right? So when you're winning, you don't want to change anything. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has been fine. You know, he has not been the sort of franchise superstar you thought you were getting. But, you know, his career and his limited playing time, the questions have been, one, availability, which obviously, you know, missed last year, and then, two, the up-and-down nature of the way he plays. Sometimes you look and he'll do something and you're like, this guy is perfect. Other times, some of the simplest things he struggles with. So they look like a team now that's going to be, you know, run first, play defense, attack another team's quarterback, be physical, not make a lot of mistakes. Jimmy Garoppolo can be the quarterback for this team, and they can be really, really good. The question is, to me, does he give them a window to replace him? Because if he's just going to hand it off and not make mistakes, then I don't think they're going to do anything, nor should they. If he starts making some critical mistakes that cost them games, and you have Nick Mullins, who we saw last year and, like, looked, you know, pretty good, then I think, you know, if Garoppolo opens himself up to being replaced, then we have a conversation.
Ian Rappaport, NFL Network Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. If you're a football fan, I'm assuming you already do. If you don't, you really should. But also, you got to listen to the Rapsheet and Friends podcast. It is always in-depth, always good information, always really good guests on the NFL constantly. So check that out. Every place that podcasts are available, the Rapsheet and Friends podcast. Rap, it's always good to catch up, my man. Thanks so much. Hopefully, we'll do it again here soon.
All right. Look forward to it, man. Good talking to you, as always.
You too. Ian Rappaport joining us this morning here on the show. I also think it's crazy to talk about post-Jimmy Garoppolo, not only because they're 5-0 and they look really good, but you have to have a better solution. You know, it's easy for people to go, well, Garoppolo's not what they thought he was. You can easily buy him out from the rest of the deal after the offseason or after the season. So just do that. Okay, but what's your solution? Are you going to jump into the fray of the quarterback draft class this year by trading away a bunch of draft capital to get up to where you would need to go get a Tua, a Herbert, a Fromm? No, you're not going to do that because you're going to end up being, what, 10-6 minimum probably. They would have to go 5-6 the rest of the way to even be 10-6 at worst. And how much you have to trade up to get one of those guys if you're drafting in the 20s. Number two, let's say you go 11-5 this year. Even if you don't win the division, the Seahawks do, or the Rams come roaring back. Still, you're probably in the playoffs. So now you've gone to the postseason for the first time, I believe, since 2013, and you're going to get rid of the quarterback at that point in time? And then also, who's going to be available? So you want to go free agent. Well, what, guys like Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota that we were talking about? That's not an upgrade over what you have in Garoppolo. You run the risk of finding the next Kirk Cousins that you think you can elevate your play with, but is he actually better than your solution right now? I think as long as Garoppolo wins either 10, 11 games, whatever that's going to be in San Francisco, he's coming back. When we come back, Patrick Mahomes looks like he is in trouble. We'll talk about the Chiefs and what is happening in their slide next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.